Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today, I have with me Sam Varner, all the way from Houston, Texas. Nighttime there, morning here, and we are going to have an amazing conversation because I just love what Sam does. She focuses on helping other women find success and consistent profit in the business. Now, that is something I know when I'm working with a lot of people is being able to make money from what you do and to do it well. She founded the She Collective in 2018 to serve female entrepreneurs as a profit coach and money-making business creator. Sam has 14 plus years, plus. There was a plus in there, I think, Sam, in PR and marketing, finance, strategy, and business development. So after living in three different countries and starting over each time, Sam decided to create her own business, serving women business owners worldwide, coaching women to develop as leaders of their business and realize they are capable of changing their financial picture through business ownership. And that is something that really lights Sam up. Now, she's originally from Canada, and she has lived and worked in Australia and Canada and the US over the last 10 years. And Sam is an avid reader. She is a soccer mom and a constant pursuer of personal development and learning. That's one of my favorite things to do. We're going to have lots of conversations about that, Sam, I'm sure. So Sam graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Communication, and she holds a graduate certificate in public relations. Diving into business finance and strategy as a financial advisor, she obtained her certified financial planner designation. I knew that wasn't the right word. It is a bit of a destination. Absolutely. And as a graduate of Financial Coaching Academy, Sam believes coaching creates the strongest entrepreneurs out there. As I mentioned, she lives in Houston, Texas with her husband and four active children, and importantly, one dog. Welcome to this episode, Sam. I'm so looking forward to hear about this, how women can become, you know, financially competent and actually have success in their business. And it's not just a hobby or a passion project. They're doing something that they can make some money from. So I know I read your bio, but just tell me a little bit more about Sam Varner.
Oh, geez. I feel like the bio is, you know, me in my entirety. I just found that over the course of the career that I had, I was constantly drawn to business owners. And so when I finally got to Texas and realized I didn't want to requalify, I'd done that in Australia only to have two more babies and then moved to Texas. So that became very annoying a little bit. I realized I was capable of kind of picking and choosing the best parts of my business and the best parts of what I love to do in business and create that. So that's how I ended up actually creating a company instead of just going back to a job. But watching women create businesses that are actually making money is so fun. It is the best part, literally the best part of my day, short of, you know, the kid chauffeuring to and from soccer practice. That also is, you know, high on my list, but that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
And that, you know, that watching women create businesses that make money, I work with a lot of women in micro businesses. And as I mentioned, sometimes they do become a hobby or a passion project. And it's a step up into that creating money. And I know when, you know, there's always been, particularly through my generation, that glass ceiling in workplaces, which means that women don't necessarily have the same superannuation or financial backing that men do, which is okay, not too bad if you're in a couple, but when you are by yourself or you've been through divorce and separation, then standing on your own two feet is so important, and to be able to do that well and to be able to do it doing what you love oh my goodness, that is just the epitome of enjoying that work-life balance, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it is. And I think the most important thing I see with women is, regardless of that couple or not couple, right, that security that we have in a partnership. I'm married. I have a husband that's been around since we were in high school. So I get that part, but that can change, and it can change in an instant in a way you don't anticipate. And then there are so many women that are in positions where they are not even sure what they would do next, right? Mm. So by having a business ahead of that, it just allows that confidence to build so that if ever you needed to, you could stand on your own 2 feet. And that, I think, is a huge benefit overall. Mm.
I know throughout my career, and I've been working since I was 15, so we're talking 42 years. What, I don't know, I'm not that old. 40 something is. Oh, I am that old. Yeah, I am. Anyway, it's been a long time, okay? And I've always been of the mindset that I would study this now, plan ahead to do this, and because that fitted into that part of my life when my children, before children, and then when my children were young, and then study this so that when my children were getting a little bit older, had a little bit more time to apply to for what I did. And then even when I was working full-time as a general manager of a business and being paid extremely well, I was then building my own business on the side so that when I was ready to move into that, and moved into a five-day fortnight for 4 years, and then moved it into it full-time a few years ago. So it was, it's always been my way of doing things is that bit of preparation as to what do I want to create. I had that asked to me many years ago, is what do you want to create? And so that's been my clarity of focus. Does that work for what you do, that sort of progression in things?
Absolutely, because I will end up sometimes with clients coming to me saying, I don't know what I want. I have 7 ideas and I want to know which one I should do. So we get that sometimes. Or I currently am trained in this field. And so the easy thing would be to do something independent in this field, but I really love this thing over here. Do you think that's even feasible? And so sometimes that coaching relationship to begin with is really going through, let's do that work that you were doing on your own to create the preparation plan, right? And to create that, what would be the step-by-step to get you to the point that you'd be comfortable to make a move that way. So it does, sometimes people come to me very, very clear or already running businesses that are just not as successful as they know they could be. And sometimes it's helped me from the very beginning figure out how to be an entrepreneur and where to direct my energy to make that feasible.
Because preparation is great. And that's, if you, it's just, you know, I've always been the mindset, you're always preparing, but sometimes we're just thrust into a situation that we were not expecting. It could be, as I said earlier, it could be through, you know, separation, divorce. I know a friend has gone through that, and also now through the death of the spouse and the expectation of what they had earned together their entire working career of 40 years. She's now working a job. And she has a house, but she's working a job and trying to support everything because it just flipped on a dime when she was, you know, originally made redundant many years ago. You know, there's all these things that come into play that you just, the company shifted cities and, you know, you just have to,
so many out of your control pieces, right? And I think one of the reasons I probably stick so strongly to believing in how important this is I started out, when I started in financial services, I started out in insurance. So I did a lot of conversations between couples with insurance, right? So, and I spent a lot of time convincing spouses of the necessity of having insurance money in the case of that exact thing, right? Something happens and then all of a sudden the other spouse is left just trying to scramble and figure out how to just keep their heads above water. And so I do think that that has played into a massive part of my philosophy around business and the philosophy around make money as fast as you can for the sake of the security, and not in a negative way, but in a fact that it's okay to make money. It's okay to make that be your striving in a business. And in fact, if you're not making money in a business, it might indeed be a hobby, maybe an expensive one. and trying to make that transition, right? So,
and that's what I find, you know, because I coach in sales and confidence and communication, that side of it, is convincing people. And I used to do a lot of, and I still do, energy work. So I come across, you know, people working in that energy field going, well, no, can't make money off this. Yes, you can, because the more money you make, the more people you can help. If you don't necessarily want it as profit for yourself, think of that way, that if you are, if you don't accept money, then you can't help other people. And that's part of, you know, I've been fortunate, but I've also planned that when I was, you know, very well paid in that GM role. So now as I'm in my business, I'm making money, but I'm in a position where I can help a lot of startups who, if a very low cost in that market, because that's a choice of mine to be able to do that. And then if I'm working with businesses, I, you know, charge what I'm worth, but I'm able to assist at very low cost, and seeing people's, you know, results just go through the roof is a huge joy, and it motivates me to do what I do every day.
Absolutely. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
But it's getting to that position. So there's this, I don't want to, you know, the focus shouldn't be on money. Rubbish. Of course it should.
I agree. Money is not a bad word. Sales is not a bad word, right? It's a necessity for you to go out and continue doing the thing that you are exceptional at, that you can help people in, whether it's having, like last year, I was able to offer scholarship for three businesses. That was just because I had made enough money that I could then just say, I am going to take on three clients that are not paying me anything, because that's going to be something I can fund myself. And it, we have so much, I think women have so much compassion naturally and so much desire to help people, but then sometimes there's such a reluctance to be, powerful and to stand into that concept that making money is not a bad thing. It's not some sort of, it's not making you a bad human being to want to make money. Most of us want to better the life of our families, better the people that we have the ability to touch, all those sorts of things. And a lot of my work ends up being around convincing, or maybe not convincing, but some days it's convincing, but like just encouraging women to the idea that it is okay to stand in that philosophy and be okay with it, right? Men stand there really comfortably all the time.
They do. And, you know, that's part of it. This is, you know, 40,000 years of history ingrained that men are there to support the family. Yeah. So they'd go out with the spears and hunt, and the women would be the homekeepers. That's all changed in society, and it's had to change because the roles have changed significantly. And but men, as you said, they'll stand up in that role because that's what they've been trained to genetically or emotionally train to do, that they're quite accepting of it, whereas women aren't. I know when I talk about sales and people in their own business, I'll sort of talk about everyone being on commission. They're in a commission job.
Absolutely.
And they'll look at me, well, what?
Horrified?
It's your own business. You're paying yourself a commission from that business. And do you want to, you know, not get paid for that commission, or you've done all that work? And if you imagine if you're an employee in that business, would you want to get paid a commission? Certainly. So why not do that if it's your own business?
Mm. I think it's exciting to see the shift, because I do think that we're starting to see a shift. I look especially at, you know, the women that are, you know, 25 now. And I am starting, I think it does exist more in their mindset that they are capable of this, that they are wanting to start in that independent role. I think that exists far more than, you know, I'm now 42. So my generation, even, you know, like looking at my mother's generation and stuff, I think that there's a shift happening more widely than what I think it's happened in the past, in terms of just, I can be independent and be part of a marriage. I can be independent and be a mother. I can be all of those things. And I can do it by being an entrepreneur is a big part of that, I think.
Yes. And it's really interesting. I was the yesterday I had five meetings and sort of left home about 7-ish, and then got home about 10:30 last night. And it was an all day thing. And I, even through exercise gear in because I knew there was an hour break. So I went for a walk along the beach on the Gold Coast, which was...
Oh, well, that's just bragging.
I know. It was amazing. It was a beautiful sun. It was a fabulous day. But it was interesting because my husband had said the day before, he had a friend over and he said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, oh, these things here. I'll be back about 10:30. And his friend said, you'll be out all day. You'll be not back till 10:30. It blew him away that he was in a stunned space. Going,
you weren't just sitting there waiting to make dinner and...
Yeah, it was an interesting reaction because I don't have that reaction very often, but it was a different space to sit in. But again, it's that my husband has always said for years, he just wants to be kept, you know, financially.
I think that's my husband's thought as well. I think he's just been waiting. He's like, I've seen that you've got good potential. I've just been waiting for you to kind of put it all together. And I'm like, okay, fine. You did the first 20 years. I'll take the second 20 years. It's fine.
We had that agreement with cooking. I did the first, he could do the next 25. So yeah.
He does the weekends, which keeps me happy because by Friday, I don't want to cook anything for anybody anymore.
No, I totally agree. But that's a change. And statistics I read a while ago is that 1 in 7 women, and I don't think it'll be much different from the US and any other Western country, but 1 in 7 women will be homeless by retirement. Now, that might mean that not on the street, but they might be on somebody's couch or in somebody's room, hiring a room. Now, that blew me away that it was, and it wasn't necessarily because of a mental health issue or an addiction issue. It was because they did not have the finances to have their own home to be tucked up safely in, that they either had to rent something or rely on family or maybe be on the streets. But that was massive, wasn't it?
It doesn't surprise me, but I do think like when you look at the superannuation or the 401k numbers here or super in Australia or RSPs in Canada, it's all pretty much the same. There's not a lot of differences to it, but it is those years out of the workforce to have kids make such an impact. Mm-hmm. And it's the calculation that it's based on your earnings. So if you are chronically under earning your male counterparts, then you're obviously always going to be in that position of just accumulating less in those retirement funds. And then we have the good sense to go and live longer. So the combination of making less, accumulating less, and then living longer does provide that real problem, right? Real lack of security in our like old dotage where none of us wants to be couch surfing at that point. Like that's... Nice.
And it affects our health then, obviously, because there's stress involved with that. And just a point on that. So I have worked on and off my entire career. Mm-hmm. My husband has been mostly through one employer, but a couple of other employers. His superannuation is 3 times the amount of mine. And I've been in higher paid jobs than him over part of that time. But because of exactly what you said, out of the workforce and doing taking on other roles, but it's a significant amount, you know, it's quite a significant amount. And plus mine's probably 3 times higher than most other women.
Right. Yeah. You're already sitting on something that doesn't exist for the majority of the population. Mm-hmm. It is hard. Like I look at my daughter's 13 and I look at when I was having my kids, my mom was a stay-at-home mom and there's 5 of us. So she was a stay-at-home somewhat out of necessity of the cost of putting us somewhere was a lot.
Yes.
And I look at her now and think my advice would never be to leave the workforce. And I still would, you know, obviously support her if she chose to do that, to stay at home. But I do think there needs to be a better understanding of what is the consequence of doing that from a financial perspective and what other ways, what more creative ways could you come up with to bridge that gap, right? It doesn't mean that I'm ever suggesting you don't spend time with your children or don't take the time off. I did it. And I think it's an important time frame with kids, but I also think it's not a necessity in terms of your child developing into a thriving human being. I think that they do that pretty well on their own. They're pretty good at that, I think, these little humans. And so I think there is maybe that shift to an entrepreneurial lifestyle creates that freedom and flexibility. And if women are starting to jump on that bandwagon earlier, it allows them to maybe do it while they're having their children. Because for me, my flexibility now as a self-employed person means I can do middle of the day school stuff. I can do middle of the day dentist appointments or, you know, finger x-rays, all the things that I end up having to go and do at a moment's notice. I think that's really important. I think that's what we always want to have, is that flexibility to be available, not necessarily flexibility to be at home 24/7. That's not always what we're trying to aim for. I think it's that ability to be there when they need us, as opposed to all the time necessarily.
And that's, you know, I think that's the perfect type of balance. If that's, and I think a lot of men would love that balance.
I think so too. And I think this year, maybe they've had a better peek into that life to see the value of being around more, right? Mm. I know my husband, he's been home. He still hasn't gone back to work. Their office hasn't opened up yet. And he's been able to do soccer practices and be, you know, in the kitchen for lunch instead of, we see him when he leaves at 6:30 in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, and then home for dinner at 7. And I've done all the things that fall in those timeframes. And he's really enjoyed it. Like, it's been a great opportunity for him to get a peek into life. Doesn't have to be a 12-hour absent from the home necessarily and still function as a person in the workforce. So
yeah, that's an important factor. I think the last 18 months has provided an amazing opportunity for people to take the opportunity. It's also caused an incredible lot of stress and heartache for so many people. But it also has given us a chance to slow down and figure out what's really important to us. And
that reassessment, right?
It is, yes. Yeah. I know we've just bought a caravan. We've always been campers and everything, but we've just bought a caravan because we're not traveling overseas now for quite a while. So we figured that, may as well fund it and do a lot more travel here. And get away and do that sort of thing. So again, the camping was, you know, a few times a year, but that wasn't a reality. But then it is now. It really is more important. So how can women start building up some finances if they're particularly in their own business? What's some tips that you have that they can do?
I think the biggest thing is just to get started, to not kind of, a lot of times my clients get stuck in that inaction phase and feeling like it has to be done a certain way before they can speak to a client or before they can put out an offer on social media. And I think it's kind of like you're skydiving and you need to just fling your carcass right out of that plane and give it a go, because your best experience comes from those first clients. Your best experience comes from those first times that you try to do something or that you try a way and it doesn't work. Entrepreneurship, I think people think sometimes that it's about doing it right, when really it's just about doing it and oftentimes wrong repeatedly until you stumble upon the way that works really well for you. So I think it would just be, the best encouragement for women is to just, if you have something that you want to do, try, put it out there, tell your friends, I'm thinking about doing this thing. Would you be interested? Would you talk with me? Who do you know that might be interested in X? And just open that door to kind of admit that that's a thing you're pursuing, and then just do it.
And the thing I see people stopping them is, okay, so what if people judge me on that? Mm-hmm. What if I'm not good enough? What if I fail? What if? Mm-hmm. And this fear of everything pops up then, doesn't it?
It does.
And it holds so many people back. What's the fears that you see that will, in the,
I think all the ones that you just mentioned, I think there is a big issue we still have with that, restraining ourselves because people might think differently of us, right? Or they might pass judgment in some way on what we're doing. And I always argue to say that they're going to anyway. They're already, if they are passing judgment, they are probably passing judgment on what shoes you wore, what car you drive, how you yelled at your kids when they're at the park doing crazy things, whatever that is. And so just stepping into it, knowing that people, there will be somebody that judges you, that exists for sure. And also there are people that need your help. So if you deeply believe in the thing that you're providing for somebody, then you're doing them a disservice to not offer it. You're doing them, it is a tragedy to not offer your skill set or your gift because you're scared that somebody might look at you sideways. They're going to anyway, so do it anyway.
That's such an important factor. I talk about that in sales all the time, is that, you know, if I know what I do well, mm-hmm. why wouldn't I share it with somebody who needs to do that better? You know, why would I let them go to somebody else who I know doesn't do it as well as why? Because I'm scared to share that information. I switch it around. How selfish of you, how thoughtless of you to do that rather than, you know, here you are, you can change people's life. And it is a bit of a, oh, really?
I know, it's a little confronting. It's a little bit like, stop chickening out and just do it already. Mm-hmm. But that's often, I feel like that's often, my client the other day said to me, you're a bit of a dream killer sometimes. And I'm like, no, I make you focus on the three things you're supposed to be doing. And all the periphery we need to put to the side. And I'm like, dream killer is not a nice word for your coach, but okay, I'll take it.
I like that you brought up focus. Now that is something that, as you said, you mentioned earlier, some people have seven different ideas. What am I going to focus on? But once you've got your ideas, it's really easy to go, oh, bright shiny object and go off on a tangent that is not going to help you reach your goals.
Yeah. And I think that's what takes women so long to make money, to be honest, because I think they get distracted thinking that there's the perfect way to do things, that there's the exact formula. Like if I just follow this person and their 1, 2, 3 steps, that if they did it and were successful, then I'll do it and be successful. And it's like, maybe, but maybe not. And so I think it's about really trusting that if you love speaking to people, or you love writing, or you love face-to-face interactions with people, then lean into the thing that you're really, really good at and focus mm-hmm. on your skill and work on the thing. I can't remember. I'm just looking at my bookshelf. I can't remember what book I read in lately, but it was a statement saying you could focus on getting better at the things that you're not great at, or you could focus on continuing to develop your strengths. And I was reading that thinking about my business, but then also thinking about my kids as well. Like, yeah, you're not all going to be equivalently good at a thing, but you should lean into the thing that you're great at and then make yourself exceptional in that way. Mm. Right. And I think for our businesses, if we can focus on that and lean into the thing that makes us great, the other stuff you can be kind of okay at. It's okay. We can get you to the point where you have enough money to hire a VA or to get some help, or just realize it doesn't have to be exceptional at every level, but the one thing can be exceptional.
That's such a brilliant point. That expectation of being perfect, holding people back, but to be focusing on what you are good at and really mm-hmm. focusing, because, you know, the accounting stuff I do, I just went, oh, I don't like doing that at all.
Fair enough.
I can count, but just let somebody else do that and I'll do what I do and what I do well. And passing that off, letting go of control mm-hmm. is another big factor that a lot of women really struggle with, because you know what? Nobody's ever going to do something as well as I can, which mm-hmm. is a whole lot of rubbish when you find someone who can do it better than what you can.
But yeah. And the sooner you figure that part out, both in your business and around the house, mm-hmm. the less you have to do.
And the less stress it is. Mm-hmm. I know when my sons are in their 30s now, but when they were about 6, 7, 8, just to get them to hang a little bit of washing out and things like that. They might've been a bit older. I sound like I'm slave labor.
Hey, but my 7-year-old does the dishes, so it's fine.
Yeah. But they were complaining about having to hang out other people's washing in the house other than their mm-hmm. own. And I said, you know what? That sounds fair. How about you only ever have to hang out your stuff? I'll hang out your sheets and towels and I'll hang out ours. And they ended up with, you know, 3 times the workload that they originally started with, but it was okay. They figured that out. It wasn't a very good choice after a while, but it's giving people, letting go of stuff. They didn't do it well.
No, they don't do it well. Kids and chores are terrible, but
But it was just, okay, that's just what happens now. They never, when they've started making their beds, they never did that well either.
No.
But who cares? The house is, there's nobody in the house through the week. No. Who cares? You know, it was letting go. I'll put my hand up. Anyone that listens to any of these podcasts going, oh yeah, Janine will tell you she's a control freak. And I used to be on a whole lot of different levels. And then I realized what's important.
Yeah.
And the things that are important are the things that I focus on now. But doing the things, leaning into the things that make you great. We're talking now and it is July. The Olympics are on. The interview is coming out in October, so it won't be as relevant then. But the Olympics are on. Can you imagine? I know there's one particular Ash Barty just won Wimbledon. So she did not the Olympics. She knocked out first round of the Olympics. Not good. But she just won Wimbledon. She was a softball player and a football player, I think, and also played football at Australian level. But she was brilliant at everything. But then she just had to choose the one to focus on. And that got her a Wimbledon win. You know, so focusing, staying in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
When you've been in business for a while, you can start to have a couple of different lanes. And you
absolutely
can put energy into those different lanes. But when you're starting out, it's really important to stay in your lane, isn't it?
And it is.
Like, imagine the swimmers if they were, you know, swimming. I don't like
bobbing
this lane.
And weaving all the way through.
And they're not going to win. Exactly. I mean, that's a great metaphor, is that the backstrokers particularly, because they've got to really stay in their lane and try and focus on staying straight. And you see the ones that get close to the lane ropes, that they lose speed and they lose momentum because they're not just on track and heading to directly where they need to go towards the goal and keeping straight and focused. Great metaphor, Janine. I didn't even think.
I know. Good job. You've been watching Olympics. You're all fired up.
Oh, because it's in the morning here.
Your timing is a bit better. We get it all like, you know, prime time evening. I watch all of the replay stuff. But we've been watching it in our house a lot too. It's funny. My two youngest were born in Perth. So they're Canadian, but they were born in Australia and most of their lives they've been in the US now. And they are very torn when we go to watch the Olympics and there's a Canadian and an Australian and an American. They don't know who to cheer for. They're very, very torn. So they cheer for whoever wins.
I was going to say, just go for the winner.
Yep. That is. Harrison's like, yay, the Australian won. I'm like, I mean, I like that you like the winner. That's good. Okay.
Yeah, that would be very conflicting for them. Mm-hmm. It's just that focus. And that's where that sets someone apart from a winner. To get there is magnificent anyway. And to get into finals is you know, the top eight in the world or the top six in the world, depending on your sport, or the top four. But to have the focus to be the best, and it's genetics, but it's also that mindset and dedication. And I remember,
and grit. I think it's grit. It's that like perseverance despite everything else, right? That singular focus, right? Which we talk about in business. Mm. It's about, I'm going to do this until it works, no matter how hard it is. And I think for entrepreneurs, as soon as they can figure out this isn't like I'm doing this business till Tuesday, it's I'm doing this business. I am all in on this business. And it might change, you know, all of us know that have had businesses for any length of time. They change a little pivots here and there, but I am in this for the long run. This isn't a short-term thing for me. And I think once you can get that, it's like the timelines don't feel so harsh anymore. You can just keep going until you get there. It might take you till you're 30 to get to the Olympics, and that's okay, whatever that looks like, right?
Absolutely. And it's, I remember, you know, when they have the singing shows and they'll say to the singer, what's your backup plan? And then most of them will say, there isn't one.
Yeah, this is it. The plan. Yeah.
And that's so important. And it's a really good point you raise about having just, it may not be overnight. Overnight success in entrepreneurship is just not real. It's not even 1% of people that start in business. It's minuscule.
And I think the ones that do even look like that, if you have a real conversation with that person, you can guarantee that's not overnight in their head. It's only just mm-hmm. whatever portrayal they're getting publicly. But it's almost never, it's like, no, I've been thinking about this since I was 12. I've been working on this since I was 15. I've been, you know, yes, the business has come out of nowhere for you, but it doesn't mean it's come out of nowhere for me.
Mm. And it's that taking, and it will always be a couple of steps forward, maybe a couple back, and then three, four, yep. two back. And it, we don't, it, that's not a popular thing to show on, in the media, is someone failing to succeed. It's just those people that, as you said, that there could have been anything going on in the background that's the success. There will be failures, but it's absolutely. Staying. It's absolutely staying on track. So how can we focus on the money part? You know, is it, are there tips that you'll give your clients other than the things that we've talked about?
I think it's really focusing, I guess, back to focus, right? But the idea that your pretty website and your beautiful social media and your, all of those things, right? The design of your business card, all the things that we think are super, super important are really not that important. And so we can spend a lot of time, especially at the beginning of our businesses, trying to DIY things. You know, I'm going to DIY my website because I don't have enough money yet to justify hiring a website designer. Okay. That sounds good in theory, but when you take 6 months to design your website, because you really don't know what you're doing, and you finally get the website done, that is 6 months in a business you have yet to tell a person you have a business. You have yet to make an offer to a human being to help them with whatever it is that you provide. And so I think for people starting out in business, I think it's about start with getting clients first, and you can make the pretty background bits as you go, but don't feel like you need the pretty background to get the clients. Mm. We don't, I want to know you have a presence, right? I want to go onto Facebook or go onto Instagram or something and see that you exist. But I am going to be drawn to you as an individual with what you're saying. I am not going to choose you as a provider for me for services because your website is amazing.
Mm. And there's so it's much opportunity with social media to, as you said, to have a good presence on social media or your mm-hmm. Facebook business page set up well, or depending on your audience, your LinkedIn page set up yeah. well and actively. And again, when you're starting out, staying focused on this channel will work for me. This is
yes,
where I'm going
one
to
one thing at a time.
Absolutely. Because it is, it's very confronting otherwise. And I'm just even thinking, you know, I've got a YouTube channel that's got 100 videos, and I thought, well, for someone starting out, that would be a brilliant thing to have, to direct people to a YouTube channel that can tell them all the stories of what they need yeah. to know that you would have on a website. You can mm-hmm. you can talk your blog through, or you can talk about your business on there, or talk about your about, all of that on yeah. on your other social media. So depending on what is your social media, what's meant to work for you, then yeah. focus on one, get that working well, then move to another that you
and repurpose your content when you move, right? I mean,
who would have thought of that?
I know, like take that YouTube channel and use all those videos and create reels from them, create Instagram stories from them, create all of the, it's this, I think sometimes entrepreneurs get bogged down with every day I need to create new content and come up with new ideas. And that's insanity. No person wants to do that 365. And it becomes very heavy if you try and do it like that. So just focusing on what you're very good at and focus on saying, I'm a graphic designer. Okay, that person might have a portfolio, but like I'm a graphic designer and I can help you get your logo started. I can help you build your business cards, whatever it is. I'm a life coach. I can help you sort out your, you know, disagreements with your mother, whatever it is. Mm. But that statement and being confident to go places, wherever the places are that you already go, and sharing that information is going to get you farther faster than any of those other bits, right? And having those in the background where you're like, and I've told 12 people this week I am a life coach, and I've done 4 videos on my YouTube channel and I'm focusing on YouTube, where you can direct them, like come see on my YouTube channel or come back here. That's not nearly as hard as feeling like you've got a laundry list of 25 things you have to perfect before you can go out and offer yourself to the market.
Yeah, that's such great advice. It's just so sensible to do it that way. And I know there's people I work with and they say, I'm just waiting to get my website done. Don't wait
Don't
to get
wait.
your
Yeah.
website done. Just tell people about it. Oh, I can't go on video. You know, it's all of these things that will hold.
The sooner you
back.
Go on video, the less you feel foolish.
Oh, goodness.
Right. And it's that hesitation kills you, because then you just don't do it over and over and over again. And again, you're back to that. I haven't done it for a year. I could have been really good if I had tried for a year, but now I'm at the beginning still.
You are. You're always at the beginning.
We are all terrible at the beginning, and it's okay.
I because I coach in professional speaking, so I'm sort of meant to be able to do things okay. I have a video on my website, which I was being interviewed for something else. So I had these people while they were here and doing that for this other company, I got them to do a short video for me. And it's so interesting. We're talking about that. A piece of my hair is across my face. All I see on the video is his hair. And it was because it was men. If it was women, they would have.
Yeah. They would have said, hey, you've just got to move that a little bit to the
yeah,
side.
They do. Mm. But I've had people book in schedule strategy appointments because they've watched the video, because they go, it's really real. It's yeah. And a couple of friends of other clients I've mentioned about the hair, and they go, we didn't see the hair. It's all those little judgment things that we'll have on ourselves mm-hmm. that other yep. people don't notice. It's the connection that you build, particularly with videos and through videos. I remember when I first did a online training program, mm-hmm. I put the webinar together, and it's seven modules, and I put the webinar together and one module, because I figured I could go to a lot of trouble and not sell anything.
Right. Absolutely.
So I did advertised the webinar, sold into quite a few people into the program, and then it was okay, now I have to create
build those modules.
And you know what, that's great motivation to do that.
There's nothing like a fire under your butt to get it done right, like that.
Correct.
But that works for me.
I could have spent 4 months developing it, but in the meantime I had income coming in. And this is way before we were locked down in COVID. When COVID happened, I was able to go, hey, here's my online two online training programs. Here's my online training programs. And yeah. you can work on those now. But I think if I hadn't have done that, I still would have been years later going, I must do that. I've got a feeling yeah. I must do that. And it was quite funny, because one of the ladies was very dedicated in getting it done. And so each week she would go through the video training and the workbook, and then she would email me going, can I have access to the next one? And I would say, what I want you to do is take a couple of weeks just to really make sure that you've worked through it well. And
I want you to really absorb the material, because I'm very quickly typing the rest of the material.
Absolutely. So she was happy with the fortnight, but it really gave me a kick that I had to do yeah. that. And yeah, and I was working as a GM at the time also. So that was interesting. Great. But that is, just stop that from holding you back.
Yeah.
We're getting, oh, look at the time. Wow. This has been so much fun. We've covered so much. I see we're so on the same page with so many things.
I think so. Yeah.
It's excellent. We finish up with three takeaways that you would suggest for the people listening. I know we've covered so much content.
I know.
But there's three things that I would, you know, at the last minute where people go, well, if you do nothing else, I'll do that.
I would start really with that start. Start right away with whatever thing you think you should start with. The second thing is going to sound like a plug, and it's really not, but hire somebody to help you. Yeah. Or get a mentor. So it doesn't necessarily have to be that you hire a coach, but you will get to the next step far faster if you have somebody help you with the accountability piece, right? Somebody is waiting for the next module, that sort of action, that helps. And a good coach is going to help you skip some of that hard DIY stuff. So they're going to be able to teach you what they've already learned and hop you over that hole and get you to the next part faster. So I think the sooner you can find somebody that you resonate with and that you feel like is somebody you want to follow, get help, because doing it alone seems somehow virtuous and we should be doing it alone. And it's really silly. Mm-hmm. It's really hard and it's unnecessary and it will slow you down. So take the time to find somebody that will help you get to that next step in whatever piece you're struggling.
And out of interest, you've obviously had coaches over time, Samantha.
That I have, for sure.
Help you get to where you are. What I found is throughout my career is the further I've gone along, the more I'm paying for coaches because they're of a higher level. And yeah, it keeps taking me to the next level and to the next level and to the next level.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, if you can, you know, just afford something to start with, it is just a mentoring program or something that's going to fit with what you yeah, do, but do something.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we think, especially if you're in like an online business space, that it's a very low cost startup. And that is true. But I think if you compare yourself to a restaurateur who is going to open a restaurant and has to hire staff and build out the building and create the menu and all those things before they even get one client in the door, before they've sold one hamburger. I think if we think about more our businesses like that, like what do I need to do to get me the runway? And you think if the coaching is that part, how much faster can I fill the restaurant? How much faster can I fill that business that I'm trying to fill? So I think sometimes we are excited about the low cost to entry, but I think sometimes it bears speaking that we need to put a little bit of investment in. So a little bit of our time, a little bit of our blood, sweat, and tears, and also a little bit of money to invest into a business too.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's just dumb if you don't, it doesn't it matter is. What level, it just, it is just dumb. You know, if I can give you half a different techniques on how to close a sale, do you want to go out and play with that for 6 months and not close anything? Or do you want those six techniques and then go and try those ones and see what figures works better for you? What do you want? And the third point.
The third point, I think, is that the confidence that creates, I think we think if I sell something, I will be confident. And the sooner you can understand that your confidence is what creates that result. So if you can find it in you to build your confidence and to believe in your confidence and to, whether you're a journaler or whatever you do, but to, you are capable with the skills and the knowledge that you have right now to go out and talk to a person about your business. And you have to believe that because otherwise they're not going to buy it.
Mm.
Right?
Yes. And because of the speaking training, one of the things I often talk about is removing the ums and filler words. Because if you imagine if I said, "Hi, I'm Janine Vosper. I'm from Speech Perfect." It just loses that authority. Whereas, you know, say, get good at that. Also practice your pitches, practice your conversations. And the way to practice is to do them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to do it, I say to clients all the time when they're, especially with pricing, I find people are that money conversation can be hard. And so people sometimes will say to me, "I'm really uncomfortable when I go to say my prices." And so my suggestion is often every time you go to the bathroom, I want you to say your prices in the mirror to yourself. I mean, you don't have to be weird. Mm. You could do it in the public bathroom if you're being bold. I like that. But I want you to be confident to say it. And when you do that as often as, you know, we're all drinking all of our water now, so you're going in there a lot, you will start to it rolls off your tongue to the point that it needs to sound as comfortable as your phone number. And when you get to that point, then you don't have those stumbly moments when you're saying to a person, they're like, "So how do I work with you?" And you're like, "Well, it costs X amount," and you can't sell something like that. I don't want to buy something from you if you seem so unsure. So practice that part, if nothing else. Mm. Who are you? Who do you help? And be able to say your price, not right away. That would be weird. But but be as capable of saying your name as you are of saying, "This is how you work with me and what it looks like."
And that's trusting that worth within yourself. That
absolutely.
How much am I worth? I had an interesting thing the other day. I was quoting on some sales training with this company, and I had done some presenting at an event he was at, so he'd seen me. And I was talking about speaking on your feet, though, and he was booked me for sales training, which was. So the underselling worked. But when I'm giving him the price, it was really interesting. And I changed it twice, and I just upped it twice just to, and I thought, oh, that'll work. And he came straight back and said, yeah, that's cool. Thinking, oh, I could have upped it even more. But it was a good price. I was, you know, really yeah. happy with the time anyway. But it was just that moment of going, you know what? It's for what he wants and for the value that he will get out of this, this needs to yeah. be his investment, is this, and without a problem. So yeah, believing your worth. I think that's a big deal.
It's so critical.
Yeah, this time has gone so fast. We've had
has been fantastic.
Yeah, I've really, really loved it. I just always amazed when we can speak to somebody across the world, and we're both sitting here in our homes and, you know, you're enjoying summer. I'm enjoying winter here. Mm-hmm. And the world is so close now.
It is. It's fantastic. I know as a little kid, I had an uncle who moved to Australia. And back in the day, my parents used to just take those little videotapes and record us, or video audio tapes, mm-hmm. and record us at the dinner table and mail them to him because it was so expensive for phone calls. And now to think that we have the ability to back and forth mm-hmm. like this is fantastic. I think it's just opened up such amazing opportunities for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. How can people get in touch with you, Sam?
Probably the best place to find me is Instagram. So it's Samantha N. Varner on Instagram. That's probably the best place, but you can always go to my website if you want. SheCollective.biz.
So the SheCollective.biz.
Yeah. Just Z, to say, of course, yeah, my Canadian-ness now, look, I've been in the States too long. I'm saying Z.
You say Z in Canada?
Canada says Z too.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. The kids learned to read here, and I kept yelling at them when we were doing the alphabet that it was Z. My husband's like, we're in the States. They need to know Z. That is what's in.
That's so funny.
We still call garbage the bin.
Oh, okay. They are good. Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? And when we first came on this morning, I could really hear the Texas accent. But as we've been talking, the Canadian has come through quite a lot more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's shifted a bit.
Yes, all this world. Good on you. Travel,
I know. So as opposed to me, I just have an Australian accent.
Hey, you know what? I'm a big fan of the Australian accent. So that is okay with me.
We have very unique words and ways of expressing them. I know that. Thank you so much for being on this morning, Sam. So again, your website is SheCollectiveBiz.
Yes.
SheCollective.biz. You can find her on Instagram, Samantha N. Varner, V-A-R-N-E-R. And do you have any offers or anything that you want people to go to?
I do. I have a link. I'm not sure in the show notes if that's appropriate, but I do have a how to kick ass at your sales calls freebie that is a 4-page PDF that kind of walks through just the ways of being a human and getting your name out there. So I am absolutely happy for you to pop that link into the show notes if that's appropriate. It's also available on my website if they head over there as well.
Yeah,
but either way is fine.
Excellent. That definitely will do that. So thank you. Yeah, thank you for your time, your evening, my morning, and we've had a great conversation. Yeah, that's another perfect episode of the We Are Women podcast. I am Janine Vosper, your host. I would love for you to put a 5-star review and the things that you've learned from this particular podcast and hear back from you as to, you know, the changes that it might have made for the way you think about doing business and the achievements that you want. You can also head to my website, JanineVosper.com. And if you're a little bit, I'm not sure about what you're doing and how you're going about it, then jump on there and book a free strategy call. I would love to have a conversation with you. Doesn't matter where you are in the world, we can do that over Zoom. Have a fantastic day, week, month, year, no matter where you are in the world, and go out and have an amazing, beautiful, profitable business that you love to run. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.